Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Drop a Deuce podcast. My name is Daniel Keenis. I am here with my fabulous co-host, Frank Todd. Frank, how are you doing?
You know, I'm doing all right, Daniel. I'm a little confused on what's going on with my bet right now. And this is a live reaction. I was not planning on this happening, but I'm really confused what's happening in my bet right now.
What's going on?
Well, the halftime score of this Kent State basketball game has changed like four times. I can't figure out what the actual score is.
I always trust Google. So instead of ESPN, I always go to Google and just hope that it's right. So I'd look up basketball.
Here's the problem. So Google, it says it's 48-45, but then if you go to like the play-by-play, it says it's 50-45 Kent State.
They must be reviewing something.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening, but we're not going to talk about Kent State in Central Michigan and the confusingness going on. We're going to talk about the national championship game last night and the big story that came out of that.
What were your gut reactions?
Man, this game is really boring, and man, Devontae Smith is really, really good.
Devontae Smith is – I am still yet to see something out of Mac Jones. I know he threw for five touchdowns in whatever, but also he's throwing to a Heisman-winning wide receiver. Of course he's going to be – like, of course he has to have a great year in order for Devontae Smith to have a great year, but who is it really on was my biggest question.
I was going to put this out there. Mac Jones still had less yards than Michael Penix. Just going to put that out there.
By like 12 yards or something.
No, by like 30.
Okay. Well, wait, I thought Penix got 497, right?
Yeah, and Penix officially got 491. Mac Jones got 464. So it's like 30 yards.
So really, that isn't the worst that the Ohio State defense has played this year.
I'm just going to put this out there. But yeah, Michael Penix is the Heisman and future first-round pick.
I think Penix, if he has a good year and he doesn't get hurt, that's the big deal.
I mean, all sarcasm aside, yeah, the Ohio State defense looked horrible last night. But it is official that Indiana's quarterback Michael Penix did have the best game against them all year.
That is fantastic. Good for IU going forward. I think some things that I saw that really interested me, first and foremost, it was nice to have fans there.
I mean, yeah, it was nice, but it was weird because you're not used to it. You're like, oh yeah, that's normal.
I was talking with my mom and I was intrigued, and I want to get your point on this. I think that because there are no fans, basically every game becomes a quote unquote neutral site game. Do you think the best team comes out of like the season, the national champion this year, more than it did in previous years because of a lack of fans? Like it's only you in the field. It's only you and the other team.
Yes. I do think it's the biggest difference. I do think the best team came out. And I mean, so I'm going to use I'm actually going to use NFL as a point for this in the Broncos. If you look at it, if the Broncos went and won the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl was in Denver this year, it'd be a different scenario because playing altitude is different than playing on a normal field. But these guys are all playing on a normal field, no fans to distract them, nothing in their way. Just like they would any other, just like they would with their friends. It's just a normal field.
Yeah. Like
so
a,
in this
a,
situation,
like
I
or something. Yeah.
I do think the best team is going to end up coming on top because there is nothing to really distract them.
Yeah. There's nothing that could weird that could happen. Like no potential streakers, no super loud Bryant Denny Stadium to maybe like hurt the LSU Tigers or Texas A&M. Like it's all going to be just you and a little bit of fans, I guess, but it's still so interesting.
Yeah, so I do think that plays a role in the best team that came out, but I think it plays more of a role since it was just a normal feeling you're playing at some super high altitude.
I guess another thing that I guess came to my mind, was this the best Nick Saban Alabama team, or was this just a down year for college football?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think that Devonta Smith is making it the best offense he's had, but I do think it was a down year for other people. With Trevor Lawrence, I mean, it was kind of hard for Trevor Lawrence not to digress. And I mean, he did have a down year a little bit, but he was sick with COVID. I mean, Justin Fields didn't look as good as he had in the past. So I do think there was a little bit of both.
I think it's interesting because a lot of games this year, you're rarely playing teams with full strength. Like you're rarely playing all 12 starters healthy.
I agree. Can we just talk about the fact Ohio State had two kickers miss the game yesterday? They were on a third string kicker.
They didn't have that many field goal chances anyway.
Yes, but they had a third string kicker. The fact that they made extra points.
I mean, okay, I feel like anybody can kick an extra point though. Like Chad Ochocinco a while
I
ago.
can't kick an extra point. No way, dude.
I used to, dude, I in eighth grade I wanted to be a kicker. Like my dad and I bought a ton of footballs. We lined up and I think I was able to make like a 30-yard field goal.
I have
But that was it.
a former NFL kicker lives in my neighborhood back home, and he taught me how to kick and like, or took me to out to kick on a high school field when I was in like 7th grade. I couldn't do it to save my life.
You're just like, thank you for the opportunity, but I'm horrible at this.
I was like, yeah, thank you. It was very nice of you. I have no coordination and I have no talent.
True. So I guess if we're done with the national championship game, then I guess looking forward, who wins the national championship next year?
I mean, okay, can I give my joke answer and then my serious answer?
Is your joke answer Indiana?
Yes, but I actually have some, I actually have. No, but here's the thing is, Indiana's a joke answer, but it's not a real joke answer. Because here's the thing is, we're returning most of our team. Only one of the linemen, Watt Fillier, and then one cornerback have declared for the draft. We still
Watt,
have four
Watt,
saved.
a lot of people stayed.
A lot of people stayed. Only Jerome Johnson, one lineman whose name I'm blanking. Oh, sorry, it was Jamar Johnson who left.
Yeah.
I'm mixing up my JJs. Jamar Johnson left. And Wop left, and then one lineman. I mean, here's the thing. We're getting a transfer who's as good, if not better, than Wop. Wop, Miles Marshall was starting to take balls from Wop anyways, along with Ty Freifogel. So he probably would have been the third option. So I get Wop. Jamar leaving is kind of questionable because he's not going to get drafted. But I mean, we still have a very good secondary
Also,
and Tommy
he can
recruit.
declare, but as long as he doesn't sign an agent just yet, then he can still always come back.
Yeah. But so my point was going to be, with them, and if Michael Penix is healthy, we have a real shot at it actually being a Rose Bowl or playoff team, depending on our record. Because, I mean, we start off the season with Iowa, and then we play Cincinnati early in the year, too.
So you can really
If
get a
we,
good ranking through that.
so if we end up, say, with our only loss being an Ohio State again, we're going to be top five, we're going to be top seven team in the country. Because if you look at it, so that would have us wins at Iowa, Idaho, Cincinnati, Western Kentucky, Maryland, Michigan, Rutgers, Penn State, Michigan State, Minnesota, and Purdue.
Yes.
If we go on that schedule and we win those games, yeah, we're gonna be a Rose Bowl team. And we're third. I mean, honestly, Tom Allen is a good enough coach, and if we actually retain everyone with a healthy Michael Penix, I think we can beat Ohio State and go undefeated.
I think Ohio State, how Ohio State might, I say this every year, Ohio State loses so many people, but it's the same thing like with Alabama. They're always going to bounce back with somebody even stronger.
I think our biggest game of the season is Cincy in week three of the season. That is
I would be
a.
intrigued to see. I would have to look at the 2021 schedule. Actually, I will right now see if it's up.
I'm looking at it right now. I oversighted a
No,
lot. I
I'm
oversighted
talking about
everyone.
the nationwide schedule. I
Ooh.
wonder if it's up because that has a small but interesting possibility of being a.
Hey, I lost you.
Sorry,
Right.
guys. Sorry, guys.
Quick
There's.
technical difficulties. But yeah, so my joke picks Indiana, but they really have the potential to do this. I mean, they have a tough schedule and they have a lot of talent, but realistically, I mean, it's probably going to be Alabama.
It's hard not to pick Alabama. I've been seeing all of these like two early top 25s, and I've been seeing IU still at that 10 to 12-ish range. One interesting top 20 early two early top 25 I saw was that USC was number 9, and I thought that was a little bit too high.
USC is always the most overrated foot team in the country. They are not a good program anymore.
Well, no, because everybody puts all these perennial national champions in their top 25. Like LSU, a horrible team this year, was 20 in one guys. I think it was ESPN's. 21 was Texas. Again, they're not great this year. I guess they were pretty good under Tom Herman. I hope he gets another job. And 22 was Penn State. Like what? Penn State didn't deserve to be in the two early top 25.
I'm reading about the USC one right now. It's ridiculous.
I don't understand why they are so high up. It makes zero sense.
So I'm reading ours though. Our key additions are a defensive end, a center to replace Sider on the O line. Wide receiver to replace. Who's a freshman, replacing WAP, who's supposed to be good. A running back, another wide receiver. Is he a freshman? No, he's also a freshman.
We have a
And
lot
then
of
we
like we have a
have.
couple 4-star wide receivers coming in.
Yeah. So we've walked on. We're actually on ESPN's way too early top 25. We're actually ahead of Cincy, so we might be the favorites in that game.
I feel like we will be regardless. I feel like the American Conference kind of gets downhill. Also, Cincinnati only moves up when they are like 10-0. Like
So I was looking at our next couple non-conferences. We've been pretty interesting. We have a home and home with Cincy, and then we have 3 years in a row with Louisville.
that could be very up and down. I respect the D1 opponents because I'd rather be playing a D1 opponent than like Eastern Illinois or something. I know we
I
have.
mean, we still have those on our schedule, but we still have at least a good D1 team
Well, that's also
on
the
our
inter that's also that's
addition.
also the interesting interesting thing because outside of the BCS, so like once in like 2014 when the BCS was eliminated and the college football playoff came in, strength of schedule became vitally important.
Mean, the
So,
Big Ten will always have a big strength of schedule because it's the Big Ten.
but also like if you want to get those, you have to get those big wins because you have to also assume you might lose one or two Big Ten games. You have to like yeah, you have to schedule those Cincinnati's, a perennial, a very good, always very good Cincinnati team and a I mean, Louisville is Louisville. I guess they're always up and down. They can always score points,
It's a
though.
power five school,
It's a
though.
Power Five in the ACC. You can't complain about playing an ACC opponent.
Exactly. I mean, a power five school is a power five school.
I guess I don't know. I guess if we stay on that train, college basketball has been very interesting this week.
Oh, sorry. Wait, I have to make one more comment. It's about college sports in general. I was talking to my brother during the game last night, who went to an ACC school, and we were talking about how Notre Dame being in the ACC and Rutgers being the Big Ten doesn't make sense. So I told him, I was like, hey, listen, I know it doesn't make sense, but I mean, geographically, swapping Notre Dame and Louisville for Rutgers and Maryland makes a lot of sense. But we should never do that because I want Rutgers to beat up on.
Yeah, because imagine having IU Notre Dame every single year, and that would actually be fantastic.
Imagine having IU, Notre Dame, Michigan, Wisconsin, them in one side of the Big Ten. That'd be ridiculous.
And then the other side is like
Purdue, Northwestern,
Northwestern, Iowa, like
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin,
It would be
Illinois.
ridiculous. But yeah, so now let's talk about college basketball here. Again, so not too early in the season anymore. We're starting to kind of get into gear. A lot of big games coming up, but first, over the weekend, we had Iowa giving a nice little beat down to Minnesota before blowing it last night. Again, or no, who they we lost to someone bad the other, or no, it was Illinois who lost to someone bad on Sunday night. They lost to Maryland.
Yeah, they lost to Maryland. That's a bad loss.
And then other than that, the only other thing I was surprised at was Texas went down to the wire with West Virginia. And the former – that was a good story, actually. The kid who hit the game-winning shot being a cancer survivor.
Okay, that's pretty cool. I'll give him that.
I watched that highlight like 14 times on ESPN.
I haven't seen it.
I wasn't watching that. I wasn't watching that game because I was watching the NFL playoffs. But they said, I saw his highlights, like, oh, cancer survivor Andrew Jones, it's game-winning shot. I was like, no way. It was awesome.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think Texas and Baylor are still 4-0 in the Big 12. Kansas is 4-1. I'm surprised they haven't moved down yet. I thought they would have moved down a little bit more.
But, I mean, okay, you got to look at Kansas with a grain of salt here. Because, I mean, they're not your average, normal two-loss teams. Their two losses are to Gonzaga, the number one team in the country, and then to Texas, the number four team in the country. They still have wins over Kentucky, who was top 20 at the time, Creighton, who was top 10 at the time, Texas Tech, who was top 15 at the time, and West Virginia, who was top 10 at the time.
They're still good.
They're not... Yeah, the reason they're not falling is they're not your average two-loss team. Their two losses are to two of the top four teams in the country. I have no problem with them being a top 10, a top four team, top five, well, whatever you want to put on.
Speaking of Gonzaga, I think they're kind of slipping a little bit right now. I say that because they've played three West Coast Conference games, and they have beaten San Francisco by 23, BYU by 17, and Portland by 28.
Ooh, they only beat Portland by 28.
They only beat Portland by 28. Like, how can you – you have to beat Portland by 50. Because,
Daniel, they probably had you and I on the court for the entire second half.
I would actually want to see that. I'm going to look at the
– They were probably in cruise control the entire game. They don't need to be out there scoring 100 points. They're taking their time – playing when they need to and making sure their players are healthy.
I mean, I'm looking. Here we go. Okay, yeah. They were up like 40 the entire game, and they got it down to 28. But actually, the BYU game I'm interested in because there's only 17 points. Only 17 points.
Only, yeah. You're acting like this is a last second buzzer beater, dude.
It is basically if Gonzaga wants to like prove themselves to me, they gotta earn it. They have to. I nothing is earned in this family. It's all given. It's never given. It's always earned.
I think Gonzaga
okay, they were
has
30
proven...
on BYU at one point.
Yeah, I think Gonzaga has proven it by beating Kansas, West Virginia, Iowa, UVA. I think Gonzaga's earned it.
I think one of my favorite things on the ESPN app is looking at the game flow. So, like, see how much a team is up and if it gets closer, like, when the game gets closer or not. Like, it's really interesting when you see one team get just to score a ton of points right in the beginning because basically Gonzaga and BYU, where I'm looking at their scores kind of going up and down. They're, like, two horizontal lines. Like, BYU was never close in that game.
No, of course not.
Of course not. But again, I'm trying to build some tension here. It's part of my job.
Here, you want to build some tension? Talk about the fact we have a top 10 matchup in the Big Ten tonight, and we'll finally see if Michigan's real or if they've just been beating up on bad teams for 10 games.
I think Michigan beats the crap out of Wisconsin.
I mean, I'd like to see that. I'm not sure if it will happen. Michigan's played nobody. Wisconsin hasn't played anyone either. They've at least been battle testing these hard games by playing a school like Michigan State, who's top 12, and then going to double OT against Indiana and needing a run to win. They've at least been battle tested in a little bit. Michigan's played no one good and they beat them all pretty easily.
That actually is true. I didn't think about that. So outside of their non conference, which is a little bit of a joke, they played Penn State, Nebraska.
Whoa, hang on. I gotta correct you on something. Their non conference is not a joke. They played Maction schools, okay? We do not disrespect the Maction on this podcast.
They played three Maxions.
We do not disrespect the Maction on this podcast.
Okay, but okay, outside the Maction, the MAC conference, while it is the best conference in America, Michigan played Penn State, Nebraska, Maryland, Northwestern, and Minnesota. And I've made it clear on this podcast that I believe Minnesota is overrated.
Yeah, you have. You've made it very clear that you think Michigan is overrated, or Minnesota is overrated.
So I guess that while that is true, and then we look at Wisconsin, and while Wisconsin has two losses, their losses are to Maryland again. And wow, Maryland's only two Big Ten wins have come against Illinois and Wisconsin. That is weird. That is weird.
It's kind of funny.
But I think Wisconsin actually, while I think Michigan might beat the hell out of Wisconsin, Wisconsin beat a good Louisville team by 40.
I mean, 40 is an impressive win, but I'm going to call Louisville a good team.
They're still a top 25 team at the time. They might be a top 25 team right now.
Oh, okay. I decided about a few months ago that the rankings are flawed and should not be ever considered again. Because Duke is still top 25.
How the hell is Duke still top 25?
Duke is still top 20. I mean, they're 5-2 with phenomenal wins over BC and Wake Forest.
I mean, okay, let's think. Are these are updated, right? Yes, because UConn's in. Duke's 5-2. They've losses to Michigan State and
Illinois.
Illinois. Those are two pretty decent. Okay, well.
Crying and screaming from non-conference games when they had Charleston Southern and Gardner Webb on your schedule left. And Coach K went running and screaming from non-conference games. I'm sorry. You don't deserve to be allowed to play in the ACC or ever again if you're complaining about your non-conference schedule when your last two games are Charleston Southern and Gardner Webb.
Okay, as we say that, I'm looking at the rankings too, and you know who I think's overrated? Clemson. Clemson is so overrated right now. They're 12 in both polls for beating. I guess they beat a Florida State team at home, so like that doesn't seem great. Minnesota's still in the top 25 in both polls.
Listen, I was about to say that. I don't think you should be allowed to be ranked right now if you have four losses. It's a little too early in the season for four losses. Listen, I mean, if you look at something like West Virginia, they have losses to Texas, Gonzaga, you know, Kansas. They have good losses. I don't care. You have four losses. You shouldn't be ranked in early January with four losses.
Illinois has four losses, too.
I don't know. I just chose to pick on West Virginia because we talk about the Big Ten a lot.
Illinois has bad losses. Illinois has bad losses. They lost to Baylor. They lost to Mizzou. They lost to Rutgers and they lost to Maryland. If you're telling me that team deserves to be in the top 25.
I don't think they do.
Ohio State, Oregon, Minnesota obviously doesn't. And they should not. I can't wait for IU to beat the crap out of them. UCLA at 21 is interesting. At 9-2.
UCLA?
They lost to San Diego State by a ton and Ohio State by a ton.
Where do you see them at 21, dude?
In the coaches poll?
Oh, I'm looking at the AP poll. They are not ranked in the AP poll.
I think they're close to being ranked. Yeah, they're
second most receiving votes. Yeah. Who didn't get in?
Virginia at 7-2 sounds about right because I think they'll move up. So these rankings are interesting. I am intrigued by these rankings. But outside of that, if we're looking at top 25 matchups for tonight, I believe actually Duke Virginia Tech. I would take Virginia Tech in that game. Duke has not been very good in. God, what is it called? Where's Virginia Tech located?
Virginia.
I know it. Blacksburg, Virginia. Oh my gosh, I almost forgot that.
Well, my answer of Virginia wasn't good enough.
I mean, I guess that's technically correct. Like, it's not wrong. Kansas -3.5 against Oklahoma State is also really interesting tonight.
I agree with that. I don't know. The college basketball is getting a weird time.
It is. Because, again, it's hard for me to watch sometimes, too, like, passionately. Because I think fans in college basketball are more important than fans in college football.
I agree with that. I mean, especially if you look at Assembly Hall, we get that place rocked.
Exactly. So you get that. Then you, or you get Cameron Indoor. Or you get the – or you get, like – whatever, like the Lawrence Field House, whatever it's called. There's so many places, and I feel like there's a lot more passion in college basketball because you are so much closer to the court, and again, you can see these guys' faces, and there's something interesting happening every single second.
Yeah, college basketball is much more important with fans. All right, should we do our sponsored segment and move on to some NBA talk?
Yeah, sounds good. Oh, it's so good to be back. I love that sponsored segment so much.
It's beautiful. Now, Daniel, how many episodes have we been doing this for now? Is this, what, 12?
This is 13.
13. Oh, I'm lucky number 13. We're going to skip this episode. It's never going to be published. Now, I'm going to say this, and I can't believe it took me 13 episodes to say this. The only thing handling COVID worse than the Big Ten and their dipshit commissioner is the NBA.
The NBA is... I saw that they're no longer allowing guests in hotels. And my gut reaction was, why are you allowing guests in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, there's, well, like 15 people from teams on the COVID list. They've had to cancel multiple games in the last 3 days because teams couldn't get enough players. The Celtics Heat was postponed on Sunday because the Heat couldn't have enough players. The Pelicans-Mavericks game was postponed last night because of COVID. And they've already postponed the Celtics-Bulls game today because of COVID, along with the Celtics-Magic tomorrow because of COVID. I mean, yeah, okay, Jason Tatum is probably – Jason Tatum, the other, like, seven players in the Celtics who have COVID are probably idiots, more than likely idiots. But, I mean, how can the NBA not admit it's a problem when it's this rampant? Because other teams still have two or three players each on the COVID list. Just Celtics have like nine.
Yeah, but their games are being canceled.
But no, their games are, yeah, Celtics games are being canceled because they literally just don't have enough players right now.
Yeah, what was it? The 76ers came out a few nights ago. It was the image of the night. They came out with like six people or like seven people on the floor.
That game should have been canceled. That game, they didn't have enough players, but the NBA still played it.
They played it, and they actually covered.
I will say this. The NBA is robbing fans of probably what would have been the highlight of all the season by postponing the Celtics games.
Why?
Taco Falls would be starting right now.
Oh, I love Taco Fall. He's still on the main like Red Claws or whatever.
No, he's not. He's on the Celtics.
I know, but he was for a while.
Yeah, he was on the G League for a while, and he played in the game the other night when the Wizards game before they all got postponed. He played a lot of minutes because, well, COVID was still bad then, just not bad enough to postpone it. He had 4 points and seven boards, along with four fouls.
We don't like to talk about that here.
He's good. He had four blocks, too.
He's good. He is a fantasy king.
Imagine Daniel, he's 7'5".
All you have to do is put it's like putting a ball in a laundry basket. You don't even have to aim. It's just right in front of your face.
Taco should have a lot of blocks and a lot of rebounds every game because all he has to do is put his arms up in the air, and then you would have to literally throw it another 20 feet in the air to get it over him and into the basket.
Like, it's not hard. And then suddenly, maybe if you miss your pass, maybe the pass just goes in. Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows the crazy things that could be happening right now because of these new COVID rules? With Taco playing more minutes, the fans of the NBA would be winning.
again, like, how many people would get you know what the NBA should do?
Every game?
Well, that, but I'm saying NBA should come out with emojis on the back of their jerseys. I actually think that would be a really good idea. Because then imagine a Celtics jersey with just like a taco emoji on the back.
That would be pretty funny.
That'd actually be fun. And like, then you have Devin Booker, and it's just like the Bible on the back of his jersey.
You have Steph Curry with a bowl of curry.
Exactly, like a bowl of soup. And like LeBron James with a crown on the back of his. That would actually be so cool. Do you realize how high those would be? So good. Those would be so high selling.
Sorry, I lost you for a second. But yeah, these emoji jerseys would do incredible.
I actually think that's a great idea. I'm going to call up Adam Silver right now and be like, "Hey, babe, like, we got to talk."
I mean, other than that, though, there's not a lot happening in the NBA because COVID is just killing it right now. But other than that, I mean, Celtics and Bucks are on top of the East with the Sixers tied with them. I mean, shocker to everyone, the Lakers have the best record in the NBA. Who saw that one coming?
The Suns are still killing. The Suns are killing it like COVID.
Suns out, guns out.
Suns out, guns out. We're number one Suns podcast, everybody.
Number one Suns podcast in the world. I think the big story is how bad the Raptors are.
I was going to say that. They're 2-8. Like, it's okay to, like, the first four games or something, if you need to get your footing and you start out 1-3 or 2-2, perfectly fine. But to go 2-8, that you're wasting an eighth of your season doing nothing.
They were up for a majority of this game last night, too. I mean, they're just not playing good basketball.
Like, I'm going to look at their schedule. Like, what let me see. I'm going to look at their schedule because I'm not sure it's going to get any easier. The Hornets are an underrated team. LaMelo Ball
is the youngest person to ever get a triple-double.
LaMelo Ball is good.
Like, he's very good. He's
actually good.
He's very good.
He's very good. So what? They play Charlotte twice, Dallas, Miami twice, Indiana twice, Milwaukee, Sacramento, Orlando, Brooklyn, Atlanta, Memphis, Washington, Boston. That's tough. That is tough. They play Milwaukee a lot. They play Milwaukee four times.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you're in the East. You got to play them a bunch.
That is
tough. They have a lot of maybe more games against the Celtics.
Like, who do they have? Why can't they be good? They have OG. Oh, it's Aaron Baines. No wonder they're sucking.
Hey, it's because they're not playing in Toronto.
They're playing in
Orlando. They're home. At least that was reported for a while. I'm pretty sure that ended up happening. Like 99% sure. Yeah, no, Tampa. Sorry, Tampa. Big difference.
Interesting.
Their home games are in Tampa because of the Canadian government's rules with COVID travels.
Interesting. So,
I mean, not to mention Enes Kanter also, it just isn't allowed to leave the country because of the Turkish government hating him. But,
well, yeah, that kind of hurt.
We all know that story.
I guess that brings up the point. I believe that Canadian teams are going to be able to leave the country for NHL games.
I don't know what they're doing for the NHL yet. The NHL is a whole cluster of a situation.
The NHL starts tomorrow.
I know. I don't know what they're going to do, man.
I think I know the Knights schedule. I'm a very big Vegas Knights fan. I know they only play like the same 10 teams. So I am wondering if the Canadian government, I'm going to try to go to the NHL and try to see if some of these teams are actually.
No, okay, I got it. Here's ours. The Canadian teams are a division. It's Calgary, Winnipeg, Vancouver, playing. Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, and Edmonton. That's a division.
Yeah, they are literally not leaving Canada that
they're
entire
only playing,
season.
They're only playing themselves, yeah. And then they got everything pretty good geographically. Like, you have your central division as Columbus, Chicago, Nashville, Florida, Tampa Bay, Dallas, Carolina, Detroit. You have Washington, Boston, Pittsburgh, Philly, New York, New Jersey, and Buffalo as the East. Gee, I wonder why we have so many New York teams. And then the West, you have Vegas, LA, Minnesota, which doesn't make much sense, Anaheim, Arizona, St. Louis, San Jose, and Colorado.
That is so interesting.
You know,
like I'm looking.
They did a really good job at making these divisions until you have Minnesota in the West.
I mean, I guess you maybe cut it off based off of the Mississippi River or something, but it kind of screws over the West teams a little bit because you have to go over two time zones.
No, it's only one, I think. It depends on how you look at it.
No, Minnesota's not in the mountain. So if I'm
it's
talking
central.
West Coast. Yeah, so that's,
so it's
that's
only,
2 hours.
Yeah, you're right. I guess. I misunderstood you. I thought you said you'd fly over two time zones. Not.
No, you're going up 2 hours.
Yeah.
Going,
I just misunderstood.
You're losing 2 hours.
I just misunderstood you.
Yeah. The Knights play Anaheim, Arizona, St. Louis. St. Louis is kind of iffy, but I guess again, if you're going to St. Louis, you can go to Minneapolis, Colorado. Well, yeah. So, I guess the funniest thing, I know this isn't going to happen, but I really want it to. What if a NHL team could go undefeated this year? Like, what if they are so much better than every single team in their region?
I don't think it's possible. Someone just gets a lucky one time.
Okay, now I have another thing. Do you start counting these I guess multi matchups? So like two teams are going to play each other twice or three or four times in a row. Do you start counting those as series? Like,
I guess so.
Like, do you treat it like baseball? You know how you don't win. How you don't like one game doesn't mean them that much, but winning a series means a lot more.
Yeah, that's probably how I think about it. Now, I was also thinking about this. I think it's time we rename the divisions for hockey for this year. Like, the North should just be Team Canada. The West should be the West plus Minnesota because they're not on the West. The East should just be New York plus some other states.
New York plus others.
Yeah, it's four New York teams. And the Central should just be like, everyone else.
Everyone else.
Think about it. We have Columbus, Ohio, Chicago, Illinois. Okay, that starts making sense. Nashville, Tennessee. Again, you're kind of making sense a little farther.
You're making sense. I'll give
and
you
then
yeah.
Florida, Dallas.
Dallas makes a little sense because you're just going more south, but Florida? Really?
Florida.
Really?
Double the Floridas. I mean, God bless the NHL. They make no sense to me sometimes.
Are they doing divisions? I feel like they should change the divisions to exactly those, right?
No, they have four divisions. We went over them. The
North. Okay, I didn't see that.
I'm
so used to it to me being like the Pacific Division or something.
Yeah, there's four divisions this year: Central, East, North, and West. Or as we're going to refer to it, everyone else, New York plus others, Canada, and then the West plus Minnesota.
Okay, so I'm looking at this, and I firmly believe that the best division has to be Central. It has to.
Yeah, probably.
Because Canada-ish, I guess, but none of those teams are really that great. But if we get the Central, we have the Stars, we have the Tampa Bay Lightning, we have both teams who were in the NHL final last year. We have the Predators, who are always fantastic. The Blackhawks are always we hope they're good. Hurricanes aren't that bad. Most of these teams, wait, hold up. Every single one of these teams except the Red Wings was in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, it's a tough division.
That's a tough division.
Now, Daniel, I think we need to move on to what this podcast was supposed to be before we decided that was too boring. Tennis.
Tennis.
I mean,
we always gotta bring it back to our roots at some point.
So we got the ATP, Dare right now, and I mean, it's a little shocking because first of all, it's not a very star-studded field, but you have two Americans who were lining it up, Christian Harrison and Korda. I mean, Christian Harrison literally just lost to Hurkacz in the semifinals.
That's not surprising to anybody, though.
No, but Christian Harrison being in the semifinals, beating Magger, beating Garin, beating, God, I mean, attempt to say his name in the first round as a qualifier, it's pretty good. And same with Korda.
I think Korda hasn't lost yet, right? Korda plays tonight.
Yeah, he plays Nori later today.
That's going to be a good match. I want to watch that. I don't know how I'm going to watch it, but I'm going to watch it.
Just fly out to the tournament and just sneak in. Seems like an easy solution.
Let me just go buy a ticket real quick.
Yeah. Seems like an easy solution. And then, I mean, you got the ATP of the tournament in Turkey, the ATP on Antalya. I mean, again, nothing too surprising there.
Dminar beat Goffin. Bublik beat Shardy. Bublik beating Berrettini. The thing is, Alexander Bublik, he's the 8th seed out of Liechtenstein. Kazakhstan. I only know that flag because of Borat. he's from Kazakhstan. Wait, am I right? Please tell me I'm right. Yes, he's from Kazakhstan. Let's go. I only know that flag because every time I see it, I think this is Borat.
And I mean, Dimitar being in the finals, this is no surprise. He should be.
But beating Goffin is still a really good win for him.
No, it is. I mean, we got the Abu Dhabi WTA event where, again, the only surprise is to me was how early someone like Kinnan went out and how early Pliskova went out.
I've yet to check this tournament. So
I check it every day because I bet on it every day.
So let's go. Abu Dhabi. Wow. Okay, Sakari lost. That is big. I'm trying to look for, like, Sofia Kenin losing to Sakari 2-0 in the second and third set is kind of a big deal. So that's actually interesting.
I mean, Sakari's not a bad loss, though.
Okay, considering that she has beaten so far, I'm literally looking through the rankings. So she lost to Sabalenka today. She had beaten Sofia Kenin, Garbine Muguruza, Coco Gauff. Jesus fuck. Did she have an easy match?
Man.
She didn't. No.
She had a tough draw. I mean, Kenin went through a tough match the day before with Putintseva and a 3-set win in a tough match. I mean, this was a good tournament.
No, like, this is actually very impressive. I am starstruck right now.
And then besides for that, we have the Aussie Open qualifiers where our boy Brandon Nakashima went out in the first round.
Wait, the qualifiers already started?
Yeah, dude, they're in the last round of qualifying tonight/tomorrow morning.
Oh, is that because they need to quarantine?
Quarantine and then the ATP Cup.
Okay.
So, yeah, we got Barreri versus Ferreira Silva, Delian versus Alcaraz, Karastav versus Muller. I'm going to pronounce, like, half all these names wrong, and I apologize.
You're not doing that bad, actually.
So we got Sweeney. Who is Sweeney from? Oh, he's an Aussie. Versus Stokowski. We got Taro Daniel versus Yemmer. We got Robin Haas still in it, playing Halls.
Wait, who? Tommy Haas?
No, Robin Haas.
Oh, I was hoping for Tommy Haas.
Yeah, it's the other one. But, I mean, Robin still being alive is interesting. We got Zoomer versus Copenhagen's. We got Rittenkensch versus Momo. Torpengard versus Mokhok. We got
Torpengard?
Yeah, Torpengard.
He was really good for Ohio State. I'm surprised he's doing so well. Good for him.
I mean, he's won two rounds of qualifying, beat Zhang and Morang.
You're speaking a different language right now.
Okay. He beat, what was Zhang's, I looked him up, actually looked these guys up the other day. He beat, what's his first name? I can't figure it out. It's not, the Flash Scores app isn't telling me. He beat Zhixing Zhang, who's a 24-year-old from China in the first round, or in the second round.
That's who, not too bad.
I'm looking at his ATP career. It's not very good. I had to go back.
It's not great.
I had to go back to a challenger in 2020 to find his first win.
Jesus Christ. Well,
before
you know
this. And then he beat a German player who is 28 named Matt Morang.
I don't know. 28. That means if you're 28 and I've never heard of you.
Yeah. He's not very good. Yeah. Hang on. I want to finish this off. There's only a few left. Wu-Tung Lin is playing Villela. Stebby is playing Troiki.
Stebby!
Lestian is playing Cephalian. Oh my lord, I'm not. This is even worse for me. Van de Jean-Chapulp is playing Borg. Tomic is playing a guy named JP Smith from Australia.
Oh, Jean-Paul Smith. I think it's interesting that Tomic is in. Wow, he's still playing tennis?
Yeah, I was surprised too. Man, we got two more left. We got Wisconsin versus Gojo, and then Cressy versus Brown. Donald Brown, baby.
Oh my god, the fucking Jamaican slammer. I love him. German, but he's Jamaican.
But he has a German flag on his ATP.
But he has a German flag, but he has a Jamaican heart.
Okay, Daniel. Okay.
Okay, whatever. But we can predict the Aussie Open. Just so everybody knows, we will have our Aussie Open special as the tournament gets a little bit closer. When the draws come out,
it's still not for a month. They're just qualifying really early this year.
Yeah, we will have time. We will have plentiful, bountiful time, really, to focus on that. But you know what? There's a more important tournament going on right now, and it's in football.
Football Americano.
Football Americano, guys. What gut reactions from this weekend in football?
Holy shit, the Steelers suck.
The Steelers, they went 1-5 in their last six games. That is horrible. For a team that started 11-0, oh my god.
I mean, they were horrible. I mean, again, if you look at their schedule, well, everyone was right. Their wins weren't good. They beat the Browns, the Titans, and the Ravens, which were three good wins. But other than that, they didn't have any good wins in the regular season. The Jaguars suck. The Bengals suck. The Cowboys suck. The Eagles, Texans, Broncos, Texans are horrible.
It's still impressive because you have to beat the teams you play, basically. But it's like they were set up for failure.
Here's the thing. They probably should have lost this game at a 50. But the Browns just ran the clock out for like three of the four quarters.
Well, because once you're up 28, you're like, okay, this team's not scoring. Let's just start running every play. Like, it's not about scoring. It's about just getting out of there without any injuries.
Yeah. They wanted to get over this. They just wanted to get off the field as quickly as possible.
And even after all this, I know I've been very pro-Browns. I've been very pro-Browns to make the playoffs. It'll be very interesting to see how they come out against the
they're gonna get killed. I'm sorry, they're gonna get killed. But we'll talk about that in our episode tomorrow. I want to move on to the next game. The Saints and the Bears, aka the worst thing that ever happened to television.
Nickelodeon.
That was the worst thing I've ever watched, and I hope to God, I think they should cancel television as a whole because of that game.
I loved Nickelodeon. That was so fun.
That was horrible.
They were talking to me like a six-year-old, but, like, I'm supposed to be a six-year-old.
Dude,
like, it was so
these
fun.
These freaking kids trying to slime the players after the game, and then be like, no, we are not doing this. And then the kids complaining about, no, shut up. You're a little kid on Nickelodeon. You won't get to slime an NFL player because you're a Nickelodeon.
Yeah, you, like, if they consented to it, I'm like, hey, okay, like if you win, you can be slimed after the game. Okay, perfect.
I can't remember who it was, but it was someone on the Saints saw it and just literally was like, no, I'm out. Bye.
God, I hope did they? I wish they would have slimed Mitch Trubisky.
You know, Barstool. Speaking of Mitch Trubisky, you know, Barstool Sports hijacked the Nickelodeon from Most Valuable Player Award,
the MVP,
to give it to Mitch. And frankly, I love it. Good on them.
Well, wait, what was that guy's name at the end? Lex Lumpkin.
Yes.
He what was it? He was trying to be like what was it? Mitch Trubisky. Like Luch Majush. I forget what he said.
He was trying to be funny and not be an idiot because they're on Nickelodeon, and it was just bad. I hope they never do that again.
Or maybe do it better. I thought it was gonna be like SpongeBob commentating the game or something. I thought that was gonna be hilarious.
I would have watched more of it if it was SpongeBob commentating the game instead of getting little like young Sheldon, like people popping up going, holding is when you hold the player.
That also shows, I guess, for me, like I'm getting up there in age. You know, I'm 21.
Bro, you're 21. You're not getting up there in age.
I'm getting up there in age, guys.
You're a college senior.
I have a retirement savings account. That basically means I'm 50. But I thought watching the Nickelodeon game showed how long it's been since I've watched it, and I guess how much it's changed, right? Because, like, Big Bang Theory is apparently really popular, and, like, there's a young Sheldon in there.
Big Bang Theory isn't on Nickelodeon, though. That's the thing. It's
no, but young Sheldon is for some reason.
Young Sheldon used to be
on, like, ABC.
Young Sheldon is on – here's what it is. Because, again, I still see the ads for it every time I watch TV on this – watch sports on this channel. Young Sheldon is on CBS – and the same parent company owns CBS, MTV, and Nickelodeon.
Okay.
So it's all part of – in Comedy Central. It's all part of Viacom. So that's why they had Young Sheldon.
Yes. But, like, it would have been so fun because even the announcers were giving me – the announcers were better than the kids. I think I would actually put my foot down on that one if you tried to fight me on that. The announcers – kind of like took it still pretty seriously. Like they were still making Nickelodeon references. My favorite was when one of the Saints players caught like a 30-yard pass. He was like, oh my god, this guy's hotter than a Peruvian puff pepper. I'm like, yes, absolutely.
See, if it was more like that, I would have enjoyed it more. But it was stupid Nickelodeon references for shows we don't watch anymore. Our childhood was not preserved on that. With like, if they had like Cosmo and Wanda from the Fairly Odd Parents come out there and like grant wishes for the touchdowns, that would have been hype.
The Slime Zone was actually kind of funny, but
I've never been a fan of the Nickelodeon and slime thing. I just always thought it was super stupid.
I've never understood the sliming.
Yeah, neither do I. All right, but I can rant about how much I hate Nickelodeon for three hours.
Also, the best part of the game was the kickoff. And that's when the announcer just screamed, "Are you ready, kids?" And I lost it.
Yeah, that was funny. That was funny.
I just lost it. So long story short, the announcer's fantastic. The kids, no. The kids should not have done that.
Nickelodeon,
no. Or they should have trained them better. They should have trained them a lot more.
No Nickelodeon.
It was that girl's. It was the middle girl. So like there were the two adults commentating. Then like the girl, like the color girl. And it was her first time at a football game. And she was announcing it on Nickelodeon.
That wasn't good. All right, Daniel, let's move on to the Ravens-Titans game. And
great game.
Coaching 101. Coaching 101. Mike Vrabel, when you're down a score in the fourth quarter and you have fourth and short, don't punt the ball.
I think – what was it? There's this Twitter account. It's like, what is it called? It's like stupid punts or something. And it kind of like it ranks every punt based off of how stupid it is. And I was like, okay, that is actually the most stupid punt of all time, especially when you have Derek fucking Henry.
I mean, yeah, and everyone will say the analytics said the punt. Well, the analytics were wrong because the Ravens went down and scored, and you end up losing the game.
And sealed the game. Yeah. Like if it's, I forget where they were. They're at their own like 40.
Yeah. I mean, also, Derrick Henry also did not have a good game.
I don't know what you do in that situation because I'm sure it was going through Vrabel's head that, like, I'm sure he knew he wasn't going to get 2 yards with Derrick Henry.
I mean, Daniel, there's one obvious passing target. They should throw to every play. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina.
I was going to say A.J. Brown.
You don't remember who Nick Westbrook-Ikhina is, and that's very disappointing.
Wait, is that the IU guy?
Yes!
I knew it was Nick Westbrook. Did he add a last name?
I guess so, because I didn't realize it was the same guy until I literally was like, wait, that can't be the same. I heard Nick Westbrook. I was like, could it be the same guy? And I went to look, and yeah, it's the IU guy.
Well, yeah, it's just like Juju. Juju at USC the entire time he was there was Juju Smith. And we always used to, like, be super happy about
it. Okay. But this one makes less sense to me because I did little group projects with this kid. Like, I knew Nick. I did two group projects with him, and it was just Nick Westbrook. So that's why it caught me even more off guard.
And now it's Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. Was he playing?
Yeah, he played. Yeah, he caught a couple of passes. Ah, I think I still have his phone number.
Jesus. You should text him. Be like, nice. Or you should be like, where'd the last name come from? We should have him as a guest.
I'll have to check my phone and see if I still have his number from that group project 2 years ago.
Jesus. That would be so random just like to go hit him up.
Hey, like, hey, I know you don't remember me, but I did a group project for you for our sports management major 2 years ago. Do you want to come on my podcast?
Do you want to come on my podcast? Do you want to be my best friend? I have Billie Jean King's email. I know she knows who I am, but like I don't think she really does. I feel like how amazing would it be if I just emailed
Billie? I'm just gonna point out this. I do still have his group me.
Yes.
That's so funny and random. All right. I think on that note, with me talking about group me messaging an NFL player, we should move on to the next game.
No. Sharif O'Neal. Sharif O'Neal followed. I'm not sure if he still does, but when I was in like seventh or eighth grade, I met him at a basketball camp. I also met Shaq too. Shaq bought me Chick-fil-A. And it was great.
That's not a flex or anything.
No, I had to say it. Shaquille O'Neal bought me Chick-fil-A. But
all right, hang on, Daniel. I just need to interrupt for 1 second to let everyone know it's an emotional minute for me as I have Kent State minus, is it 7.5? I do have Kent State minus 7.5 as they're up 8 with 50 seconds left. So if you hear me yell randomly, that's why.
Okay, back to story time. But Sharif O'Neal followed me on Instagram for maybe a week, and I think he unfollowed me. Sadly, but this
is a damn shame.
This is like
damn
eight,
shame.
This is like 8 years ago too. This is like 10 years ago.
I have a story about a PGA golfer, but I'll save that for the PGA when we talk about the PGA one day on this podcast.
One day, but I think I wonder if I could still like hit him up and be like, I think he's a mutual friend of a friend, and I could hit up my like one of my buds and be like, hey, you think I can get Sharif on my podcast?
That would be absolute. No. Central Michigan just hit a three.
Uh oh. But no, remember,
it's a 7-point game.
They have to foul, though.
I know. I'm just nervous. All right. The bonus, so yeah. No? Yeah, they are in the bonus. Okay, so I think we should move on to the next game, which was the only other exciting game of the weekend, in my opinion. The Washington football team and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
It was the best game of the weekend. Best
Taylor Heinicke is a beast.
He is. No. He is. He's not going to be the starter, but he should be given at least a fighter's chance.
He shouldn't. Maybe he should be the starter. He's not bad.
He led a good football team and scored points. I believe that is all you can ask for.
I mean, they're not going to get a quarterback in the draft because they're going to be picking after like 19 different quarterback-hungry teams. So maybe they should start him, quite honestly.
Or at least give him a chance, right? Like, again, yeah. You still have Alex Smith, and Alex Smith is like the – Alex Smith is Peyton Ramsey on steroids.
I mean, yeah, what's the worst thing that could happen?
You give him a chance and he doesn't work out. The worst thing that happens is that you go 0-16 and you can go get Uiagalelei or whatever his name is. Or Penix.
No,
or whatever.
Michael Penix.
Oh, yeah, but –
Or, why aren't you fouling Central Michigan?
Are they not going to? Like you said, there's like 50 seconds left.
They waited 10 seconds to foul for some reason. This is driving me crazy. All right, so yeah, other than that, I mean, the game, I don't really watch much this game because it was just, I can't watch the big Bucks play in the playoffs. It's too depressing for me.
You can't watch TB12 playing.
Yeah, in the playoffs. Yeah, I can't do it. I can't watch TB12 and Rob Gronkowski go win a Super Bowl. It's depressing.
I don't. I think they're going to do well this weekend, but of course we're going to get into that tomorrow.
And then, okay, so moving on to the Rams Seahawks game, the John Wolford game, we got robbed of, and then Jared Goff went off.
Jared Goff didn't even go off. He went off with 9 fingers.
I mean, yes. 155 yards passing with 9 fingers is pretty impressive, if you ask me.
That's grit. That is literally all grit. They're going to get destroyed by the Packers, but...
Yeah, they are. I mean, the Seahawks look dead. Russell Wilson looked horrible. Who knows what they're going
to
do, man.
I don't know what happened to them.
Neither do I. It was weird. They were so good, and then they just... Poof.
I don't know. Whatever, but again, so today is going to be a NFL light episode, and then Thursday's podcast is going to be very heavy NFL. Well,
so, hey, we still have one more game to talk about for the wild card round.
I'm letting them know.
The rest in peace Phil Rivers game, because Phil Rivers is probably going to retire, and that's probably going to be his last game ever.
Yeah, but Rivers is going to focus on his other team, his like 12 children.
It's more like 20.
He could field an NFL team.
Yeah. Here's the question. Do you think Phil Rivers is having a competition with Antonio Cromartie to see who can have more kids?
Well, the thing is, Philip Rivers is more impressive because he's doing it with one wife.
I think Antonio Cromartie is more impressive because he's done with like 30 women.
That actually is impressive. But
here's the thing is, we're going to talk about this at the end of the podcast, but let's just quickly talk about this game. Josh Allen is one of the best quarterbacks in the league
right now. He's
fantastic.
I think it's him versus Mahomes. The potential of it is going to be – I would sit down and watch that entire game.
God, I can't wait for that to happen.
I can't wait.
Last podcast, we ended with a Rick Pitino rant. I think we need to end this one with an Antonio Cromartie rant.
I mean, okay, so
– First of all, I want to get the exact number of kids he has, because I think it is 20.
Philip Rivers?
No, Antonio Cromartie.
Hey, okay, Antonio Cromartie, I'm sure, has like 20 kids. I think it might be like 18. With like 11 women. This is
intense. I'm just trying to figure out, okay, he has 14 kids with 8 different women.
That is impressive. But also, I don't think that's impressive because some girls might be pregnant at the same time. How many does Philip Rivers have?
I think Philip Rivers has 6. I'm pretty sure that's the number.
But again, 6 kids? I think 6 kids with one wife is more impressive than 14 with 8. Because remember, especially when you're like
No, when, I'm sorry. He has 9.
That's even more impressive. Okay, because you got to wait a year. You can't just be fucking everything that.
Okay, but here's the question: we don't know Philip Rivers, and then while you, it's very impressive. You don't know if any are twins.
Okay, but it's still, even if it's twins, he's got that magic sperm. Just like look at Roger Federer, 2 sets of twins.
No, it's not magic sperm. Philip Rivers and his wife don't believe in
contraceptives.
Contraceptives. They don't believe in that. It's against their religion.
Oh, honey. Is he Mormon?
No, he's like super Catholic. He's like born again Christian type Catholic.
Oh,
is he? Like I have a Catholic school. I know the Catholic school his kids went to in San Diego because I played basketball at it many times.
Huh. Well,
and everyone knew his kids went there.
Well, I believe contraceptives are important because a lot of people are not NFL quarterbacks. And
yeah, but okay, hang on. Let's get back to the more important thing here. That Antonio Cromartie had a vasectomy that didn't take, and he had a kid. That's what makes him more impressive. Quite honestly, that's what makes him more impressive. Phil Rivers' numbers are good. Antonio Cromartie had a fucking vasectomy that didn't take.
He's like my swimmers are too strong. Like the thing is, aren't there? I know this isn't safe per se, but can't you technically? I know you can. Isn't it a thing where you can like laser all of your sperm and like kill them all?
I don't know, man, but I like this new segment of our podcast. I think we should have a new segment called Random Sports Rants.
Or just end the podcast with a rant. Because like the thing that's going through my mind right now is like South Park. You know, like how you put your balls in a microwave and like they get really big.
Yes.
The thing is, like, imagine if you put your balls in a microwave, I am positive that all of those sperm die.
I'm positive you're gonna have a lot more problems than your sperm if you put your balls in a microwave.
Well, yeah, you get free marijuana, or you get a marijuana card, or whatever it was.
Yeah, exactly. And then I mean, just these two could field an NFL team with their numbers.
You could.
My God.
You could have.
Oh my God, Daniel, I have our new rant for tomorrow's episode already picked out, and it's on the same topic.
Oh, I can't wait.
I'm gonna give a little teaser here. And this is where how we're going to end the podcast. Our rant is going to be about George Foreman.
All right. Well, on that note, guys, thank you for listening to the 13th episode of the Drop a Deuce podcast. My name is Daniel Keenis. I am here with Frank Todd. And Frank, do you have any last words?
Don't have 24 kids like Antonio Cromartie.
Do not field a NFL team with your offspring. You heard it here first, guys. All right. We'll see you guys later.